to the book of Romans, chapter 8. There are some names that the Lord had me jot down. This afternoon, as I've been thinking regarding those that we haven't sent support or done anything special for in a long time, maybe we ought to be considering them. So you ask the Lord to lead us, and if you know of anybody in need amongst our sister churches, truly in need, or within our own church, you pray that the Lord would lead us in those things, and we'll share those as the Lord would allow us. We've got a member in the church that's been having some medical things done and testings done. I don't know with their age how much expense and residual expense they're having from these things. But I think we ought to consider giving a love offering to this particular individual, and we'll be bringing that one up in the near future. And this may sound irreverent. It won't be the first time I've sounded irreverent. Rather, not this particular individual needs the help. I'd like to see the church give them a love offering just for the fun of it, just for the blessing. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 through 39. I don't know how far we'll get. This might be a two-parter or more. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord brought us to these familiar verses over the last couple of weeks, has had us zero in particular, with verse number 32. And as we have been studying and preparing the message the Lord would have us to bring. I was just overwhelmed once again with these precious verses. And how the overwhelming message of this passage of Scripture is security. Oh, how secure you and I are as children of God. We speak lightly of eternal security. It's a Baptist landmark. It's what Baptists are known for believing, preaching. It's what Baptists many times are made fun of, believing. Once saved, always saved. But these verses of our text declare the truth of that. Once you're truly saved, you're always saved. You're secure. We believe in eternal security. We've truly been born again and saved by the grace of God. We are forever saved. We are forever secure. Look at verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, he justified. Those he justified, them he also glorified. So you have predestination, you have his divine calling, you have justification, and those who he has justified, he's also glorified. That means he sees us as already in heaven. The Bible puts it this way, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. So God already sees us as glorified. So how can we fall? How can we fail? How can we slip? How can we lose our salvation? If we've truly been born again and trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're already glorified. The Bible has much to say about that subject of our glorification. We're not yet in heaven. We are not yet possessing a glorified body. But we are already glorified in Christ. Christ has entered in to the veil for us. We're already glorified. In Sunday school, I got sidetracked a little bit on verse 31. In relationship to what is said previous to verse 31, and particularly what we've just commented on in verse number 30, the writer says, "What shall we then say to these things? Those he foreknew, he predestinated. Those he predestinated, he conformed. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Since, is what that word means, the word if. Since God is for us, who can be against us? What do we have to say about our already being glorified in Christ? Well, God's for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Since God is for us, who can be against us? We ask you this morning to read the Word of God, to read that verse with definition in mind, with spiritual understanding in mind. If God, who is omnipotent, if the omnipotent is for us, how could any lesser power be against us? Do you see the security there to being a true child of God? It's to know he's predestinated you and called you and justified you and glorified you. He's for you, the omnipotent God. Omnipotent means all powerful, almighty God. What little, insignificant, second-class power. could be against us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Ask questions. We'll get to those in a moment. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can come to one of God's elect and charge them with anything? With a sin, with a fault, with something that could get them cast out of heaven? Who can come and bring a charge against us? Well, he goes on to say, it is God that justifieth. It is God who declares us innocent. It is God that declares us without charge. So who can come along and charge us with anything? We're justified by God in Christ. Who is he that condemneth? When it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 5 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Who can condemn us? No one. No one. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything to fear of his stopping loving us? Is there any possibility that we could get ourselves cast out of his love? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? It's an eternal love. He loves us with an eternal love. No one, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in summation on this subject of security, for I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things we're more than conquerors. We need to be persuaded that nothing can separate us, and we need to be secure. You might be here tonight without Christ. And maybe you have thoughts. Well, I can't believe, I can't become a Christian. I don't think I'll be able to hold out. I don't think I'll be able to finish that journey. I don't think it's possible. Well, if you see yourself a sinner, truly repent of your sins, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't do the keeping. God does the keeping. You trust Him. You receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And nothing, once that journey has begun, can separate you from God. His mission, his purpose for your life. God would have us feeling secure. And I'm going to venture out on a limb and say, if you're here and you're lost, God would have you feel secure. I know that because he's offered his son. And he calls everyone, wherever they are, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this security that we speak of, God guarantees to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What doth hinder you from believing? Nothing will work. There's no excuses. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this security is yours. In verse number 32, our focus tonight, speaking about God, as God is mentioned in verse number 31, and throughout this text, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He that spared not His Son. For your salvation, for my salvation, for our salvation, God spared not His own Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved, God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He spared not His own Son. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Herein is love, not that we loved God or we initiated anything, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved us, He spared not His Son, but He sent His Son to die. He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfying, the appeasement for our sins. Our text verse says He that spared not His own Son. Goes on to say, but delivered Him up for us all. He spared not His Son, but He delivered Him up for us all, for all that believe, for all of us who are saved, for all of the elect. He spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Romans chapter 4, a couple pages backwards. Verse 24 and 25, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, speaking of Jesus our Lord, being raised from the dead, in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He spared not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. He was delivered for our sins and our offenses. Up from the grave He arose, and He was raised for our justification. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Chapter 5. verse 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, we couldn't do anything about our condition, never would be able to do anything about our condition. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Get that. Who's the ungodly one? You are. I am. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for us, the ungodly one, the ungodly people. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us while we were sinners and sinful. Christ died for us. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. Then he goes on to say in that 32nd verse, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A question is posed that speaks of our security along with the rest of these verses. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us. If he spared not his own son, if he delivered him up for us, or as we've been reading it, since he spared not his own son, since he delivered him up for us, since God has done all this, how shall God not with Christ also freely give us all things? When he's paid the ultimate price for our salvation, when he's given the most precious, priceless thing he had for us, what lesser, more insignificant thing is he going to deny? Do you see the logic there? When God offered up his son for us all, what is he now going to deprive us of? What is he now going to deny us? When he's given us the most valuable thing there was. I like asking the question. I hear it in songs and I hear it in sermon illustrations. Someone asked the Lord, how much do you love me? And he spread out his arms and he said, this much. He gave himself. No greater demonstration of his love for us. And if he was willing to do that, to show how much he loved us, what lesser thing will he deny a child of God? The tempering thought is this is all by grace, not by our merit, not by our worth, not by our deserving. But it's all of grace that he loved us when we were yet sinners. It's all of grace that he predestinated us. He called us. He justified us. He's glorified us. It's all by grace that he's for us. It's all by grace that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. It's all by grace when you understand that if he's given us his only son, he's not going to deny us anything that we stand in need of. Romans chapter 5, Romans 5. We read here just a moment ago. I want to read a verse or two further. Verse 6, let's just reread the previous reading. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice the next couple of verses. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, keep the flow here of this passage. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Jesus went to the cross. Okay, look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now, not seeing us as sinners, but seeing us as justified by his blood. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more then, we're justified now by his blood. Much more we'll be saved from wrath through him. Much more then, now that we're reconciled to God, we shall be saved by his life. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not in Christ freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. And I think the focus, and we'll labor that point next week, it's spiritual in its nature. The all things that he gives us now and will not deny us. Try to make you a list of all the spiritual blessings that a person can experience. And having sent his son to die for you, paying the highest price possible, which one of those lesser things is he going to deny you? Nothing. Not a one. Not a single thing. But there is all those blessings that pertain to life and godliness. There are those good things. Revelation 21. I think it's right around verse 7 maybe. It says, those that overcome shall inherit all things. All things. So the thought here in verse 32 is, God did not spare his son. God offered him up for us all. If God spared not his son but offered him up for us all, what is he going to deny us that's lesser of value? Nothing. You see the security of the child of God? Do you see the blessedness of the child of God? Rest and rejoice in the fact that if you've ever truly received Christ, really truly received Christ, you're secure in Christ. He offered his son to save you, and in God's mind, you're already glorified. But don't just rest in eternal security and be happy with doing nothing and being nothing and amounting to nothing for Christ. Go a step further and answer that question in verse number 32. If he spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also give us all things? What is he going to deny his children when he's given the best that he had that we might become his children? We'll stop there, maybe pick up a little bit next Sunday evening on this.